Well, thank you, Paul and Simon, for leading us already. Good morning, everyone. I am so glad you're here this morning. We may be joining from different locations, but we are joined together by one Spirit. I give thanks. What a gift to be together. What a gift to be the church, to worship, to nurture faith, to share the love and hope that we've been given. We know we can't give if we're empty. And so I wonder if you are expecting to receive anything today. How is it with your heart? Mother's Day can pull on our emotions in a variety of ways. How is it with your soul today? Some of you are carrying very heavy burdens. And like the man in the story today, sometimes we are able to carry one another to God. So I've been praying for you this week that God will use my words to speak life to you and to your situation. Now, part of being the church is that we're in it together. And so I invite you to share your video again at this time. And I'm going to change my settings here so I can see you better. If you're able to, that would be wonderful. And you may have reasons that you can't, and that's okay. We understand and give grace, but it's not just me preaching. You preach with me. And when I can see your faces, that helps us in our preaching together. So thank you. It's great to see your faces. And if you need to stop sharing at any time, that is fine. And you are also welcome to share your video as long as you would like to do so during my sermon. And my settings keep changing here, so I'm going to change them back so I can see your faces. Okay. Well, if we were to have a conversation and I asked you to tell me about an experience you had in the church, you'd probably be able to tell me a story, right? So the difficult part might be narrowing down which story to tell. And my guess is that out of all of the stories that we could tell about our experiences in the church, they'd all involve a time of either trouble or grace, God's grace. Does that fit with your example? Or maybe your story is a story of trouble and grace. Sometimes they happen at the same time, right? Well, let's come back to this thought. In the church, we encounter trouble and God's grace. Here's another scenario. If you and I were to meet for the first time and have a conversation, I'd likely say, hi, my name is Sarah, and you'd likely say hi and tell me your name. Names matter because they say something about who we are, or sometimes more accurately, about who our parents named us to be. So whether your name is Apple or Ava or Alexandra, our names communicate meaning. And this was certainly true for names in the Bible. Poor Esau's name means hairy. Before Jesus was born, do you remember what the angel told Joseph about his name? The angel said, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Names tell us who we are. But no one name can tell it all. Think of how many names we have for Jesus. If you'd like to put in the chat the names for Jesus that draw you closer to him and that make Jesus most compelling to you, it would encourage us. Go right ahead at any time. For myself, it might be something like Messiah, Savior, Anointed One, Shepherd, Bread of Life, Living Water, and that's just a start. Do you see, it's too many names to string together. Can you imagine what the introductions would be like? I know a girl who, when she was very little, she had a very long name for herself. Do you want to hear it? Her name, she called herself Dr. Princess Caitlin Anna Piper Kate. Our introductions would get very long if we tried to include everything about who we are in our name. Can you imagine? But sometimes our names leave out the most important descriptions. Yes, it matters in Esau's story to know that he was hairy. But that's not all he was. He was also a person that forgave his brother. He was a part of something, a family bigger than himself. Sometimes the most important thing to know about who we are is who we belong to. Let's hold that thought too. We have the opportunity over the next couple of weeks to reflect together about the church. And we hope to focus on this question: how does God, in times of trouble, empower the church? Specifically, how has God empowered Zion and the Mennonite church and the worldwide church? There's a blog entitled We Are That Family. Maybe you've heard of it. The blog got its name because embarrassing and troublesome things always seem to happen to this family. However, the blog also got its name because this family seeks to live faithfully to God as best they can, as best as they understand it at the time, through the embarrassing and troublesome things that happen. I thought about naming our sermon series on the church, We Are That Church, because we've had our share of embarrassing and troublesome things that have happened to us. And sometimes it feels like those outside Zion are whispering names about us, negatively naming who we are and calling us that church. But the truth is that all humans and all churches encounter trouble. And the truth is also that every day we are invited to bring our embarrassment and lack of being enough to a God who transforms us, a God who tunes our hearts to sing God's grace. That's what I see in you, Zion Mennonite Church. We are a place that has been learning more deeply to sing grace, not because circumstances are easy or good, but because God has been tuning our hearts. God has been empowering the church. I hope to come back to that in a few weeks when I preach about God's grace at Zion. Before that, Seth Christman will also preach on the church at Zion. Dave King and Elwood Yoder will preach on the Mennonite church, and Irvin Stutzman will preach about the broader church. The title for this series is God Empowers the Church, and the title for my sermon today is Introductions. So with all of that introduction, with all these words about names and trouble and grace simmering in our minds, hopefully, we can move to our scripture passage for this morning. Thank you, Paul, for your introductions of it. I invite you to read or listen along with me to Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. And by the way, we're excited that in 2 Sundays, Eastern Mennonite High School Choir will join us to celebrate Pentecost, the birth of the church. Today's passage comes on the heels of Pentecost, as the church was piecing together who they are and as they experience God empowering the church in times of trouble. Here's our passage. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth. Did you catch his name? Oh, he's not known for his name. He's known for his disability. There will always be people who focus on the problem and try to attach that to your identity. Not today. The man is being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. There will always be a temptation to define yourself or others by what you do. Our identity, rightly formed, is not something we choose. The core of who we are as individuals and the church is given from God. Now, do you notice how God is already orchestrating events? Every day the man was carried to beg. What else was happening every day? look back at chapter 2, verse 46, about how the early apostles lived. Every day, they continued to meet together, where? In the temple courts. But this day, the man's trouble is going to be transformed. This day, all the trouble that his friends go through to bring him to the temple gate, even all the gossip about the early church and whether or not they could survive without Jesus, it's a good day to experience God's grace. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Peter, who walked straight into the tomb, looked straight at the man. And Peter said, "Look at us." Oh, this is personal. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something in return from them. God, we give you our attention. Some of you, that's the word you need for today. God empowers us to give our attention to God. What might God do in a people that expect to receive something from God and are willing to persevere through obstacles and unknowns every day? Then Peter said, and you can sing along if you want to, if you're muted, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And maybe those are miracles too. Maybe it's a miracle that Peter knows what he's been given and he shares it. Maybe it's a miracle that God empowers us to walk with Jesus in circumstances that look impossible. Now catch this miracle of healing. Taking him by the right hand, that's the hand of blessing, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Psalm 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." When all the people, the meaning here implies far more people than those present. This may be a personal miracle, but the healing impacts many. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. If we had a time capsule that let us go back in time and ask Peter, John, and the others to tell us a story from their early experiences as the church, they'd likely tell us a story of trouble and grace. One of the troubles I imagine the early church experienced is that everyone wonders what happens now that Jesus is physically gone. Who is the church without Jesus? A church without Jesus is not the church. What happens to the apostles now? Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit has been given. What does that mean for the church? Are they just expected to break bread together, go to the temple, be taught, share, and pray, and go home? Or would signs and wonders continue to occur without Jesus physically present? This trouble is similar to our trouble today. Are we expected to just worship God, nurture faith, minister hope, share love, and go home? Or might something unexpected happen? Will the church continue to experience signs and wonders that point us to Jesus? When we encounter trouble in the church, do we expect God to help? Thankfully, Scripture is filled with encouragement about how God empowers the church in a variety of ways. In today's passage, God empowers the church through the Holy Spirit, and God also empowers through faith in the name of Jesus. Let's look at verse 5. The man looks at Peter, expecting to get money. Peter doesn't have any money, maybe because the apostles were always giving it away. Peter's pockets are empty. Now, later on, scripture records that rulers and teachers of the law were describing Peter and John as unschooled, ordinary men. So let me get this straight. They didn't have any money. They weren't educated. They weren't even special. Can we relate to their need? They don't have enough. They aren't enough. I can relate to that. And yet God, who has been at work in Peter's life, God who gave the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, reminds Peter of one thing that he does have. Think of it this way. Peter's lack, what he doesn't have, doesn't keep him from sharing what he does have. Peter has faith in the name of Jesus. When Peter explains the miracle to those gathered round, he says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong." That's amazing. Jesus isn't even physically present, or at least not in the same way as before. And yet faith in Jesus' name heals a man? Where do we get this kind of faith? Was the real reason that Peter didn't have any money was because he'd been to the market and bought up all the faith? Can I buy this on Amazon? We want faith like that. It turns out that faith is a gift. There are different kinds of gifts given by one Spirit. Peter explains that Jesus gave him the faith. God uses the faith in the name of Jesus to empower the church. Now, I was reminded of Tony Brenneman's hiking accident a number of years ago. And Tony, if I get the details wrong, please correct me later. Tony slipped and fell down a cliff filled with boulders, yet his head was protected. He landed in a spot where it was extremely difficult to get him out. Another person was hiking the trail that day, and I don't know if she had money or faith, but I think she had some education because I think she had some medical knowledge. And Tony's friend, our friend Grant, was hiking with Tony that day, and he was able to carry Tony to a place where he could receive help. When the church heard of the accident, we gathered together to focus our attention on God. Instead of going first to Sunday school, we gathered together in the sanctuary to care for one another and to pray. By grace, Tony is alive and walking today. This miraculous story happened to one person, but it impacted many. We were invited to share the gifts we've been given, our fumbling faith in Jesus, our meals, our prayers, our flowers, our love. We were invited to be the church together. People who on our own don't have enough, but together we remind each other of who we are and whose we are. People who belong together. A church that belongs to Jesus. This is Romans 12:5, one body in Christ. And I hope to come back to this in a future sermon because there are challenges and growth and God's empowerment to unpack further. But the point for today is that God used Tony's story, the long, sometimes painful story, without complete healing yet. God used Tony's story to empower a church. One person's story impacting many. May we grow in being that church, not just the church that has experienced trouble, but more than that, the church that receives God's grace in all its mystery and complexity. A church that gives our attention to God, expecting God to provide. A church like the healed man, walking and leaping and praising God together. A church like Peter, who receives and shares the empowerment that Jesus gives. A church like Zion Mennonite, that by God's grace belongs to Christ and one another. A church like Zion that is learning to expect that when we experience trouble, God will empower us. I celebrate the ways God has been, is, and will continue empowering the church to the glory and praise of God forever. Amen.